Luke chapter number 5. Before we get started, I want to read a thank you note from the family of Miss Shelley Danford. It says, "Straight from our hearts, we sincerely thank everyone for their prayers, food, love, and support during Miss Shelley's sickness. And at this difficult time for us, words simply cannot express our gratitude and appreciation. God bless all of you, the family of Miss Shelley. I'm thankful that we were able to help you. Those of you who are here today, I'm thankful, church, that you stepped up and helped take care of one of your own. I think that's what the Lord would wanted us to do, and I think that you'll be honored for that as well as our Lord was honored for that. Amen? So thank you for being such a loving and generous and caring church. Luke chapter number 5 this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open up your word this morning, I pray, God, you'll just get me out of the way, Lord, and you just come in and have your will and your way. I pray, God, you'll cleanse me of sin. Lord, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit this morning. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you bind the devil off this place, Lord, as we open up your word this morning. And, Lord, just try to glean something out of it. And, Lord, as we talk about faith this morning, I pray, God, that you'll help us as individuals that proclaim to be Christians. And, Lord, help us to start living like we are and help us to start living by faith. Lord, there's so many things we do in and of the power of ourselves. But Lord, we don't do it without knowing the answers that we can see. But Lord, we know faith is not sight. Lord, I'm thankful for the day when faith will become sight. But Lord, I pray, God, that we as Christians will start praying more and we'll start stepping out by faith more and doing a little bit more, not knowing what the outcome, Lord, but trusting that you do and that you will supply our every need just like you promised. Pray, God, this morning you'll just have your will and your way in the hearts and minds of your people. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 1. When you're there, say amen. 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 And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Isn't that a good response from Simon? And man, if we would learn to have that response to Jesus. I don't want to break the surprise of the message today, and I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Verse number 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of what, church? And their nets brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. I want to look at four things this morning out of these seven verses that the Lord showed me just this week that I'd like to share with you that I think will be a blessing to you. It sure was a blessing to me, especially touching on my faith, and you know how my faith could increase and how your faith could increase. Amen. Everybody's faith could stand to be increased a little bit. See, God doesn't always ask us to do something showing us exactly how the outcome's going to be. A lot of times God will ask you to do something, but let me tell you this, God's never going to ask you to do something that he has not already enabled you to do. You don't need to always sit down and look and say, well, God told me to give this, but if I give this, I might not be able to do this. First of all, God's not ever going to ask you to do something that he hasn't already enabled you to do. Amen? If God asks you to do something, you don't need to see it in perfect bold-faced letters. Well, if I do this, this might happen. No, no, no. If you do this, the nets just might break. How about those disciples that fished all night and caught what? Nothing. Again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but oh man, if they would have just stuck with the story, Master, we fished all night and we caught nothing. There's no point in going out there and trying this again. Oh, but Jesus already had another plan. And man, what if they would have just said, you know, we let you use the boat to preach off of. Let's just pull this thing back up and call it a day. What would they have missed out on? A whole lot. Can I say, Their faith became sight because of their obedience. Amen? So this morning, I want to see four things in these verses. Verse number one, I see the pressing of the people. The pressing of the people. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. These people had a heart's desire to hear the word of God. They had seen what the word of God was capable of and wanted more of it. I'll bet you many of us in here right now, if you're just like me, listen, I've sat in services where it was just so stone cold and dead, and they said the Spirit was there, but it wasn't the Spirit that I wanted anything to do with. And I've sat in services where the Spirit of God was so real, I couldn't stop crying. And you know, you say, well, that's just emotion. No, that's not emotions. That's God taking a hold and everybody being unified and nobody quenching the Spirit of God and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to have His way. I've been in such Spirit-filled services that I wish every single time I went to church, it was like that. But folks, listen. That comes with wanting the Word of God. Here you have a people that were pressing to hear the Word of God. I wonder how much in your life do you desire to hear God? I'm not talking about, oh, we got it. We went to church Sunday morning. We went to church Sunday night. We're going to go back Wednesday. Isn't that enough? No, there can never be enough. One of my favorite things to do is put preaching into my ears. Now, I'll tell you, the hardest part about being a pastor, people say, what is the hardest part? Well, I've only been doing it for about 7 months now, and the hardest part for me is not listening to preaching live. The hardest part for me is preaching to you and me never having a preacher standing up here telling me what I'm doing wrong. The hardest part for me is not having someone open the Word of God and show me where I've been wrong. But oh, but listen, I get to spend an awful lot of time with God to do that. But I miss listening to the Word of God preached live. That's what I miss the most. I'm just telling you. From one man that's been in your seat and sat there for 32 years and listened to preaching, I took for granted, oh, so long. How many times do I have to listen to a message? Listen, I miss that. I miss it. I don't regret what God's called me to do, but I'll tell you something, I miss that. I look forward to the preacher coming next month where I can sit in the pew and he can stand up here and take my place just for a few days and open up the Bible and refresh my mind. And you know, like David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit in me. I miss sitting where you're sitting. I wonder how you are this morning. Do you desire to hear God's word so much that you're pressing people? Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Or is your thing, is this preacher almost done yet? Hey, folks, listen, if that's your attitude, and I know we're here, and, you know, there's certain areas of the country you'll go, and they'll say, man, you go past noon. Well, listen, since when did God have a timer on him? Folks, listen, if the Spirit of God's here, why would I want to say, okay, God, you got till noon. Get what you're going to do in before noon. Folks, who are we to say that? That's foolish. I'd stay here till midnight if God's going to stay here. And I guarantee you, if you ever experienced the presence of God one time in your life so real, you won't want Him to leave. Only two or three times in my life can I testify and say, now I know God's always with us and constantly with us, but only two or three times in my life has the presence of God been so real that I would give anything to have that every single day. And I wonder why I don't have it every day. I wonder why you don't have that every day. Folks, it's because we simply don't have that pressing desire for Him. We're busy. We got things to do, people to see, appointments to make, and not a single bit of it involves God. We get through our week and we're like, oh, I mean, if you're like me, sometimes you're like, is today Wednesday? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Is it Wednesday or is it Tuesday? We got church tonight. Am I the only one that's done that before? We've all been there. We get busy. But hey, today's Sunday. We ought to include God. When you wake up tomorrow, you ought to get that Bible and say, God, what is it that you can show me today? I want to include you in my day. Before you go to bed, open that Bible and say, God, I want to sleep so good tonight, but I want to sleep with the words of God in my mind. And thank Him for giving you another day. Folks, we got to have a pressing desire for the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul. It pierces my mind, it pierces my emotion, and it pierces my will. But how? Only if I put it to work. Folks, I find it a lot easier to do right through the day if I start my day off in prayer and in the Bible. And I find it real easy to do wrong if I don't start my day off in prayer and I don't start my day off in the Bible. You ought to seek God early, and you ought to seek Him often. Amen. The whole Word of God should matter to us as Christians. I said the whole Word of God. 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Can I say the Word of God is what we ought to live our lives by? Every single one of us could say amen there. But if we were to go around the room and say, hey, do you let what's in the Word of God dictate what you allow and don't allow in your life? All of a sudden the amens go downhill a lot. Why? Because really and truly, it's not about what God wants for us. It's about what makes me happy. I say, amen, and I say, oh yes, I want more, I want more, I want more. Oh, but there's a couple of verses in there that doesn't apply to me. Folks, listen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It was all not written directly to you, but it is all for you. Every single bit of it. You know the ones we don't like? It's the ones that reprove us. And the ones that try to correct us. And the one we love, for God so loved the world that He gave. Amen. Yeah, yes, Jesus died on the cross. But oh, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God, and we ought not defile it. Well, who are you to say what I can and can't do with my body? We don't like that. Because it's ours, right? No, God said you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your mortal body. Hey, that's what's reasonable, expected of you, to submit yourself to God. But we don't like that. What about me? What about you? In and of yourself, let me tell you a secret. You're nothing. You're going to die, and you're going to go to hell without Jesus. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to look in that mirror, and you're going to say, I bet you God won't say no to me. Folks, He's a just God. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for your sins. You are not worthy of heaven. Jesus Christ was slain, and He's worthy. And you better go through Him. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Word of God is what we ought to live our lives by. Matthew 4:4 says, "But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So number one, the pressing of the people. How is your desire this morning for the Word of God? How about number two? In verse number two, we see the pity of Jesus. And isn't it good that we have a Savior that has pity on us? The pity of Jesus. "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." Jesus looked out. He saw a crowd of people that desired the Word of God. What kind of preacher, what kind of God would He have been to say, you know what? These people aren't like just any ordinary people. These people actually desire me. What kind of God would He have been to just walk on around and say, well, I see that they truly desire me, but I just don't really have time for them right now. Folks, you know, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So did you know if God senses or knows that you are desiring Him, you know what He's going to do? He's going to stop and hang out for a while. And man, you're going to love it. If He says, hey, that church down there, They bound the devil off those services. Those men, those women, they've been praying ahead of those services. They really want to hear from heaven this morning. Hey, let's give them what they desire. That's what I like. I like the fact that he saw that all the people were on the shore and he saw a boat and he said, hey, Simon, let me get in this boat. Simon said, go ahead. The pity of our Lord Jesus. I remember the day when Jesus Christ in his pity looked down and saw me, just a poor, wretched, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, and decided to not just pass me by, but chose to send his Holy Spirit out that day and convict me unto salvation. I wonder how many of you could say amen to that. You remember the day that Jesus Christ sent his Holy Spirit, his convicting Holy Spirit, and God said, hey, today is the day of your salvation. How many remember that? Say amen. 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 Listen, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ had pity on this old sinner. Can I say that just as Jesus had pity on these people because of their desire for the Word of God, we today should stop what we are doing sometimes and have pity on those around us that do desire to hear the Word of God. You know, Jesus Christ is not here in the flesh anymore, is he? He's not standing in the pulpits preaching. He's not a missionary in a foreign country. Now, he's with us, but he's not physically up here doing that. So you know what that means? We must be responsible. We must be like Jesus and walk about and see crowds and multitudes of people all around us, sometimes just individuals who in their heart, they're desiring something. And if you're a Christian, you got what they're really desiring. They're desiring a relationship with God Almighty. Not a single person in this world, they might tell you they want to, but there's nobody around here that wants to die and go to hell. Nobody. God did not wire them like that. You can prove that in the Bible. He wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, they're not all going to, but it's not because God didn't want them to. We must see the reality that the world around us are as sheep with no shepherd. Look at Mark chapter number 6 this morning. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 34. We've got to see the world like Jesus sees the world. Mark 6:34, the Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a what, church? And he began to teach them many things. Can I say, for us to be able to teach, we must commit our lives to studying the Word of God. You know, for me, I remember the very first time I ever preached. I think I was 16 years old, and I'll be honest, I was made to do it. I wanted to do it, but then it came time, and I was like, you know, and here's how it went. We had this youth rally, and they were going to have preacher boys. You know, we each had like 3 to 4 minutes. That's all we had. I mean, and I'm like, anybody can preach for 3 or 4 minutes, right? Well, let me tell you something. That's like an hour when you've never done it before. I'm sitting there. I wrote this thing out. But here's the problem I had. I waited until the last minute to write it out. I didn't study for it. I'm like, I'll get out of it. They're not actually going to make me do it. Where they're like, hey, Drew, you ready? I think it was Wednesday night, and the youth rally was Friday. I'm like, no, I ain't ready. I told you I didn't really want to do it. They're like, well, you're doing it, so you might go home and get your stuff ready. So I wrote this thing out. I had like 3 pages. I'm like, this has got to be 3 to 5 minutes. Easy. I read through that thing in the mirror. It was like just over 2 minutes, something like that. I'm like, oh, man, how can this much stuff only be 2 minutes? Well, I just read it off. I was so nervous. But here's the deal. The longer the years have passed by, the days have passed by, the more I study, the more I learn. And I can tell you this. If all I know is what I've heard, I don't know much. You got to study for yourself. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto who? God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if that verse was written to me and for me, God has given me the ability through the author of this Bible, the Holy Spirit of God that lives within me, to discern everything about it. There is a way to understand it all, but you gotta study. You're not gonna read through the book of Leviticus, I promise you, and just understand everything. I'm still trying to figure it out. You ever read the book of Revelation before? Try understanding that verse or that book without going back and reading them prophecy books. Try it. You ain't going to get it until you do what? study. But the capabilities are there. And how disgraceful would it be for you to have that opportunity to tell some soul that really desires to hear the Word of God, and maybe you're the only voice they have, and you say, well, I don't know what to say. Folks, if that's you, I'm not telling you to be ashamed of yourself, but I'm saying you ought to study a little bit more. Because one of these days, God will send somebody your way. And if you have to leave that person in doubt of their eternity because you, as a Christian, did not know your Bible well enough to show someone how they can know that they can die and go to heaven, or how they can know that they're going to die and go to hell without Jesus, folks, that's basic stuff. Amen? That's stuff we all should know. But the pity of Jesus. I wonder how your desire is for the Word of God. I wonder how your thoughts are towards multitudes of people around us. Number three, I like this right here. Verse number three, we see the permission of Simon. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. That day, Simon gave Jesus permission on his boat. Not so he could collect anything, but permission to get on and to preach the gospel to the people. See, oftentimes, here's what we like to do, and you can say no, you can say I'm wrong, but I've done this myself. In the past, there'd be times where Jesus or God would say, listen, it'd be very clear, this is what I want you to do, Drew, and the very first thing I would do is ask the question, what do I get out of this? Hey, can I say, that's not living by faith? You know what you're immediately thinking about? Well, God, if you want me to do that, you're going to have to show me why you want me to do that. You're going to have to show me what I get out of this deal. You're going to have to show me this and this. And listen, forget about a blessing at that point. Just forget about it. You might as well just say no. If God tells you to do something, it's better to just say yes. And can I say this? There's going to be times in your life where you'll pray for something, and you'll pray and you'll pray and you'll pray. Maybe your desire is to be able to do more for the Lord, and maybe your schedule doesn't allow it. And look, I've been here too. I'm going to tell you something. When you ask God to give you the desires of your heart, sometimes His way of allowing you to do that is going to require you to live by faith. Now, I understand you've got to provide for your family, but let me tell you something. If God asks you to do it, God's a liar if He don't provide for your family, if you're faithful. And God's not a liar. Amen? It might require you to have a little bit less of a paycheck. But how much bigger can God become then to you? Folks, listen. I'm not standing up here bragging, but I'm telling you, I understand that. I do, and it's tough, and the decisions are hard. And yeah, you might have to change your lifestyle a little bit. But can I say, when you start taking on the blessings that God meant for you to have, man, you'll be thankful. God might say, look, yeah, you desire that. Let me open this door for you. You might have to lose a little bit, but you'll gain a whole bunch in the end. You're setting up rewards in heaven. I wonder if there was ever a day where Jesus tried to step into your heart and you just absolutely refused Him. See, what Simon did not know was that not only did Jesus want to use his boat to preach, but he wanted to use his boat to cast a blessing on him. See, Simon from the get-go could have said, you know, don't you see we've already cleaned this boat up? Well, how would I want to cast this thing back out into the water? He's probably tired. He'd been fishing all night. Y'all know what it's like. You get off work after a long day's of work, or some of you work nights and you just get home and it's like, oh, by the way, we're doing this. And you're just, what? You're tired. And you don't want to do anything else except rest. What if Simon would have said, nah, boat's clean, man. You should have came a little bit earlier. Hey, I wonder how many of us treat Jesus like that. he was going to get a blessing on him. And can I say it was to be a blessing that Simon would never forget? Simon at this point was very busy cleaning up from a long night's work. I think in our lives often we get very busy and Jesus tries to step in and we just simply don't have time. But just like Simon, if we would just say yes to Jesus and let him on our boat, we would learn that we could enjoy blessings upon blessings. God wants to bestow blessings in our lives. Does everybody know that? He wants to do good for you. So we see the permission of Simon in verses 4 through 7. Here it is, the power and the payout for letting God on your boat. The power and the payout for letting God on your boat. Verses 4 through 7 says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. These men had fished all night long. Jesus stepped on their boat, gave them a simple instruction. Notice the instruction, launch out into what? The deep, and let down your nets. For us to launch out into the deep in our lives is going to require some faith. You see how this right here was not spoken to us. But you see how the Word of God can be used for us here? We can learn a lesson. A lot of times God is telling you, hey, let me on your boat, and I don't want to hang out by the shore where it's easy for you to get away. I want you to know that I'm on this boat with you, and I want you to launch this thing out into the deep, into a place where you never thought you could go before. And when we get out there, I want you to let those nets down. Hey, folks, is anybody else getting this? Folks, this is real. Jesus is on the boat. Launch out into the deep. Go to where you don't think you're capable and just let me take control. And when we get out there, I want you to cast those nets out. Oh, but God, we fished all night and we've caught nothing. See, right now, Simon's living by sight. Don't you see we haven't caught anything? Son, launch out into the deep and cast your nets. Guess who's on the boat now? God is on the boat. Jesus is on the boat. See, he's enabling something here. And pretty quick, Simon went from living by sight to living by faith. And just because of his obedience, look what happened. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, here it is. At thy word, I will let down the net. Folks, listen. Where you need to get in your life, if you're going to be a living by faith Christian, you need to say, God, I will let down the net. I'm going to let go of all the things that I can control. Folks, let me just say this. Anybody can go make money anywhere at any time. Everybody okay with that? There's help wanted signs everywhere. You can go get 3, 4, 5 jobs if you want to this afternoon. I guarantee you there's people begging for workers. Anybody can make money. But can I say, when you die, what is that going to mean to you? What is it going to mean to you? It ain't going to mean nothing to me because I don't have any. And hey, you know, I'd rather die a poor man in my bank account but a rich man in heaven. Then I would die a rich man in my bank account and a poor man in my heavenly rewards. I just assume, let God on my boat, give up all the things that I can control. And again, I'm not telling you to be crazy. I'm telling you, start living by faith all night. To them, it was stupid to go right back out where they had just fished and caught nothing. But they were fishing without the Savior. Folks, for us to do the same thing over and over again and expect the same result is just crazy, right? But man, when we let God on the boat and he says, hey, cast this thing out into the deep, and when you get out there, let down the nets. And you know what happened? They didn't come home empty-handed again, did they? When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. We are now completely giving God control when we decide to go out into the deep and let down our nets and saying, God, you said it, I just believe it. Doing what the Lord says and anticipating a blessing in return, living by faith, after all, is much better, can I say, than living by sight. I guarantee you those boys, as tired as they were when they pushed that boat out, I bet you they were murmuring a little bit, saying, what in the world are we thinking? But hey, the Savior's on the boat, and now we're out here. What do you want us to do now? Okay, now that we're out in the deep, put them nets back in the water. Keep going. Let's fish on. Oh, here we go. We just clean these things. Doesn't that sound like us? Doesn't that sound like flesh? Well, let me tell you a secret about the flesh. In this flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. But now the Savior's on the boat. And now Simon is about to live by faith. He cast it down. Can I say living by faith is much better? In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Living by sight, these men, all they could see was a bunch of empty nets and a wasted night. Living by faith, they were able to see more than they could ever even hold. They had to call for help, and God blessed them so much because of their faith. We've got to understand, folks, God is able. God is able. In Ephesians 3:20, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. See, all those things that you pray for that you can fathom in your mind, God, I think that maybe I could ask for this. Those things that you could ask for in and of yourself. Listen, God said he's abundantly above and beyond, able to do more than you could even think about. But not while you're living by sight. You've got to learn to live by faith. You know what I believe? I believe we're having a missions conference in October. And I'll just tell you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I'll just tell you the goal. It'd be wrong for me not to share it with you. We've already taken on one missionary in the last few months. I would like to see, through the Lord and his power, our church take on 6 new missionaries this year. Now, is God able to do that? You know what? I think God could allow us to take on 60 new missionaries if we would all live by faith. But the question is, are you going to keep living by sight and saying, well, I just don't know? Or if God says, hey, you know, think about it like this. If God allows your family to give a little bit extra every month to missions, maybe it's 50, 60, 100 bucks. I don't know what you can afford, whatever God allows you. But you think about that. If your family alone was doing that, that's another missionary that this church could support. What if every family stepped up and said, you know, I can pray about that. Me and my wife will pray about that and get that number and come back and listen, by faith say, you know what, God has laid this on my heart. I can spare this every single month. We could take on 20 or 30 new missionaries this year. And can I tell you something? We're going to be fishing in deep waters for a long time. And those nets are going to break because we're not going to be able to keep up. You know why? Because we'll never outgive God. Just isn't going to happen. Let's pray this morning. Miss Barb's going to come to the piano. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, and shedding your blood for our sins. I ask you now, Lord, to have your way in this invitation time. I wonder if there's someone here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano starts to play. I wonder if there's someone here this morning that would say, you know, Brother Drew, I sure could stand to desire God's word a little bit more. I'm the person that needs to desire God's word more. Hey, listen, the altar's open. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I can tell you this. Humility on your knees before God Almighty is what's going to change that. I wonder if there's someone in here today that would say, you know, Brother Drew, the Lord has had pity on me, and I have forgotten the pity that God had on me and my family, and I just need to step back and remember the pity that God had on me. I wonder if there's someone in here today who would say, you know what? I need to remember the pity that God had on me and return the favor to a lost and dying world. I wonder about this. I wonder if there's someone here that would say, you know, Brother Drew, God many times has asked permission to get on my boat. Maybe spiritually, maybe financially, God has said, hey, I want you to do something. But Brother Drew, I've been living by sight, and I sure could stand to live by faith. I wonder if there'd be someone in here today that would just say, you know what? I know that if I would let God on my boat and I would cast out into the deep and I would let down my nets, that God could use me. I wonder if there'd be someone in here like that. Hey, listen, folks. That's what God is. Now, I wonder if you'd just be honest and say, you know, I sure wouldn't mind having that power and that blessing that those disciples got that day. I bet you if we'd all be honest, we'd say, Brother Drew, I would love to have blessings like that. Well, let me tell you a secret. You're going to have to stop living by sight. You've got to live by faith. What page is that, Miss Barton? Hymn number 559. Let's all stand and let's sing.